By the blood of the Lamb. Yes. Amen. Did you miss an hour of sleep last night? Yes. Amen. Let's see Maggie back there. Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't.
Hey, that's a smart thing to do. You and Chris are the smartest people I know. But yeah, it's good to be here this morning. And it's always good to be here this on church Sunday morning. I love being here in God's house and being with God's people. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. But let's go into our Lord of prayer and lift up the ones that we need to lift up in prayer. And does anyone have anyone that this week that they want to lift up in prayer? Brother Royce.
My sister Betty is getting worse. They're saying they're going to put her in a long-term facility. She's got
options. Oh,
bless you, God.
Remember her.
Would y'all remember Pastor Leslie? At the healing place in Trustful. He's the pastor of Conjugate that was facing a liver transplant. And the church has been fasting and praying for him, and his numbers have come down dramatically. And they continue to fall, but he is still real jaundiced, you know, looking and everything in the week. But he gets up in the pulpit every Sunday.
And, God bless him.
And, keeps going, you know, and I just ask y'all, that's our God's church, and I've just never, you know, in hard times, it's amazing how the Lord will just bring people together, and her church is really just, the atmosphere has just totally changed, like you said, that way the Holy Spirit has just flooded the house, our daughter's telling us what's going on, and she said, Mom, you know, they're just loving the pastor, and God is using this situation to bring glory to his name. And but if y'all just remember, he's not that innocent, his story, he's really young, and loves Jesus. Just loves Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Definitely.
Brother Wayne, Herbie sent Bo a text this morning. He's got a real long day tomorrow and not doing well, so. Remember Herbie. And then Dr. Smith and Dr. Wilson are in Nicaragua doing a mission trip. And so remember them traveling, and then we'll be traveling later this week, so remember us.
Anyone else?
Brother Wayne, I know a little bit early to mention this, I guess, but Ben and Lisa, our son and daughter-in-law, and our youngest granddaughter, Jaden, will be going on a mission trip into Africa this spring or summer, and I just want to get started praying for them now. That's
you can't start praying too early for that.
I was thinking coming up here, about how important church is and Sunday school. That's Ben's base. First, you know, 20 years or so of his life is here. And I never really thought about traveling like that. I guess the Lord didn't place it on me, but Ben and Lisa have done that frequently. And Ben has gone out west into the Indian Reservation several times with Bruce to witness and build habitats out there and stuff. So keep them in mind.
Amen. Definitely didn't do that. Like I said, you can't pray too early for that. You cannot start too early. And continue praying for Michael's sister. Continue praying for her. Any update on her?
Actually, the business is much better this week.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And always remember Bo and Linda and Nell and the whole family. Just always continue praying for them.
God bless them.
And
I have to ask the church to pray for First Baptist Danville. Y'all probably all heard about the 4-year-old that was killed by the dog. I didn't find out till Friday that I knew both sides. Friends from First Baptist, it was the Clark family, it was their grandchild. And then our dear friend, Brother Jack Bailey, and his son now, Joe David, is the pastor there. But it was Brother Jack's daughter's dog. And it was on their back porch, tied, and the little boy had rode his bicycle there and left his bicycle at the end of the road and then went up to the dog, and I don't know what happened. The dog had played with their children, they had played with him before. But anyway, this family, the Clark family, my sister sent it to me yesterday, showed on Facebook. It's something that I was truly amazed with, was their attitude. And they didn't blame this family and their church family. They didn't blame them at all. And the way they looked at it and said how we've been blessed to have it for 4 years. It was amazing to me that for them to have that attitude. But you know, going to church together and all, that's hard. And just pray for Danville to be behind them and the love on them two families. Because that would just be devastating for it to be your dog. But for that family to be so loving, the Clark family to be so loving to that family is truly a testament. That God is in control of their life and they know it. And so just pray for that church and all that they'll be there for these two families.
You know, one thing about that, the church has been there for them. And, you know, it'll be hard to get through any kind of situation like that without your church family and without God. But your church family is what is the core. Of some strength that you can get from a situation like that. And praise God for that. Praise God. But you know, one thing we definitely need to be in prayer of in our revival.
Yes.
It starts next
Sunday.
And we need to be in prayer for our revival for sure. And again, we should have already been praying for that and prayer for these men that's going to be coming and delivering our messages, but we definitely need to be in prayer for a revival. Souls to be saved. You know, there's people who need the Lord and we need to pray for that. And that someone would make a decision, during this revival. And it's not too early to even start praying for our summer revival. I'll be here before you know it. So be in prayer for this morning, but be in prayer for this next starting revival next week. All right, let's
Sister Renee texted me last night. She's got pneumonia, and she asked the church to please pray for her.
Okay. Well, let's do that. And since we do have revival coming up this week and all these prayers that we've mentioned that need to be lifted up, let's just come to the altar and pray for these and in a revival. And I'm going to call on Brother Glenn, if you don't mind, you lead us in this prayer.
Most kind of rest.
Lord, bless our sons and daughters, who are fifth year old. Lord, that they be connected to one dear God, and that we be able to follow the law, and stand the brothers, and walk in God, and God, and high and cross, and God, and word, and Lord, and the comfort is not asking, and that what your precious word, and God, 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 and we pray that they have all liberty, preach your word, power, and strength, and Holy Ghost. God, we pray that whatever the need might be of these services, God, for me, we may hold that prayer. Father, we pray for these prayers, and we're speaking to you. We pray for God, those who have been saved, this God, take the love of God, and pray for these apostles, dear God, for those things, dear Heavenly Father, I pray. No, we can just be in this time of power.
Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless us here. Thank you, Father. These things we ask in our most precious name. Amen.
What's everybody looking at me for? Oh, maybe I need to introduce myself. First of all, Deb is better. She actually's good enough that she's well enough that she scared me. I thought she was going to be here for Sunday school. How many have a big sister?
Oh, yeah.
You know what it's like?
I got a big one.
Oh, yeah, I know. So, a crowd scares me, but standing in front of my big sister really scares me. First of all, I really want to thank Brother Roger and Brother Chris. Listened to the teachings, and they nailed it.
Yes, sir.
They nailed it right on target. So I'm very appreciative to them. God really has blessed this church with talent and people who use it. I was listening this morning as I drove. A gentleman was teaching, and he said, "Salvation comes with work gloves." I thought, what a great thing to say. You know, it says, faith without works is dead. Salvation comes with gloves, to get in there and get with it. And I'm thankful we have men and women in this church who bring their, who wear their work gloves in their Christian life. I really am. We are in the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. Good morning to everyone. Really missed you guys. But you were in very good hands, I heard, as I listened to it. 13th chapter of Romans. It's real. Let me just read these four verses. Real appropriate that we have this lesson when time changed, didn't it? Yeah. And if you were going to title this lesson, it would be Christians, Wake Up.
Yeah.
That's really what it would be. Christians, Wake Up. This lesson's to me. I know that for sure. Maybe it'll mean something to you too. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Paul said, "In that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." That's reading down through the rest of the chapter. And let's remember, who's Paul talking to here? He's talking to the Christians, the church that had started in Rome. And he starts it by saying, "In that knowing the time." And that part may have stuck out to me more than anything else in this lesson, is why does he think we need to wake up? Well, because of what time it is. You know, number one, I really feel like Paul, the apostles, felt like Christ would return in their lifetime. Just from some of the things they said and what he says here. So if they felt like the return of Christ was imminent, how much more should we today? Now, don't ask me for a time. I just know I'm one day closer than I was yesterday. But there's another time that I need to be aware of, and that's the time of my life.
Sure.
I did some little calculating before I got out of the truck this morning. Let's say the average lifespan for a man is 85 years. I am over 3/4 of the way there. 76% there. If I'm going to do anything, I need to wake up and do it, don't I? Yeah. Because Christ could come tomorrow, or he could come 50 years from now. I don't know that, or 1,000 years from now. That's not my business. But I know my time is short. My time is short. I have no idea where my life went. I don't. I just, like, what happened? And one of our older deacons who's gone, Brother JT, told me something that I didn't believe. He said, "Oh, when you retire, time will get faster." He was right. He was right.
How did we ever have time for a full-time?
I know. How did I ever work? For real. I got all these other things to do. So, as appropriately for when we go back to daylight savings time, that we remember what time it really is in the spiritual realm and in my lifetime's realm. Never dreamed I'd turn around three times and have three grandkids. Impossible. Impossible. I just graduated high school a few years ago.
Brother Michael, you talked about basically our age.
Yeah.
And if we're going to do something, we need to do it. But the things that we do now are different than the things we did. Mm-hmm. You know, back then, I remember one time I got stopped in Garden City by the police. They had a taillight out. He just wanted to let me know it had a taillight out. And he said, "It might just be unplugged in your trunk." And I guess that was a way for him to get me to open my trunk without telling me to. But I opened it, and sure enough, the taillight was out. But I remember when he shined his light in there, he was kind of like, and what was in my trunk was a 73 Plymouth Duster. It had two chainsaws. It had two axes, a wood splitting saw, and about four wedges along with a toolbox to fix all that stuff. But that was what I was working on then. You know, I was cutting wood and splitting wood and stuff. I don't know that I could even load that stuff in my truck now. Exhausted by the time I got the truck loaded. But the things that we do now are different and probably much more important.
Yeah.
Than what we do then. Because we've got these little types of grandkids. We've all got these little faces and little minds now that are just absorbing what they see and do. So it's important, the things we do now, lead them in a way that they'll have a future beyond the things of the world, you know. I mean, I know everybody grows up and they want the toys, and we did that too. But we need to put a foundation in there.
Yeah.
That once they get beyond some of that stuff, they'll have other interests and other things that's become much more important to them.
Isn't it amazing how slow time is when you're a teenager? I can't wait till I get 16 or 15. You're waiting on something. And then time kind of zips through till you have a child, and then it's like you start counting months, and it slows down a little bit. But then, yeah. But Paul's he's just wanting to shake us and tell us to wake up and realize what time it is in our lives. Yeah. That it is high time to awake out of sleep. And that's probably a good description of my Christian life a lot of time. I'm just snoozing along. Not really aware of what's going on around me or anything, just snoozing along. But he says it's high time we wake out of the sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And if I could change that word to maybe something that would be a little better translated now. For now is our redemption nearer than when we believed. Our change to that new body, that new life. It's much nearer now than when I believed as an 11-year-old. Yeah. Paul says the night is far spent. And we can look at that in the big picture as the end of time when Christ returns, or like I say, in my life, which is now over 3/4 of the way, on average over. The day is at hand. And you know, we could also look at that as just our time on this earth. Earth's a dark place, especially compared to the day of redemption, how bright that will be. You'd almost look at it as day and night, wouldn't you? A mortal life versus an immortal life. What a great way to put it. As different as night and day. Isn't that the saying? Yeah. But since the day is far spent, since the night is far spent and the day is at hand, let us therefore, because we know the time, because we've woken up and looked at the clock and we know what time it is, let us cast off the work of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I heard a phrase, I think I read this somewhere, where he talked about we need to have Jesus as close to us as a jacket, as close as the clothes we wear. We need to put him on every morning. Well, I'm going to say we spend a lot of time deciding what we're going to wear, right? I had to pick out my tie this morning. Because somebody's going to look at it and see us, and we don't want them to say, whoa, look at that. But they'll see when we put Christ on just as much, just as if he was a set of clothes we put on. Yeah.
Can I ask something for that? I've been studying this very thing. In Romans, I think it's chapter 1:4, the Holy Spirit referred to, the Spirit of holiness, right? Hmm? When the Holy Spirit comes within us, that's when the transformation begins. that's when he gets in you so deep and so hard and so powerfully that the things of the old things you used to do really bug you. That's when he tweaks that, mm-hmm. reminds you more, much more powerful than your conscience about living a holy life. Mm-hmm. That's part of the transformation. Mm-hmm. And the next part of that is to put on the armor of light to talk about. I had this conversation with Brother Bobby or something that was kind of transformative for me. You can't really put on the armor of God until you first put on the character of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You have to have that first. Mm-hmm. If you don't, the armor is not going to fit.
No.
And you're not going to wear it away.
No.
And for me, that whole verse speaks to that for me. The journey that we're supposed to have when you talk about doing that. If we're really going to walk in Christ, walk in the Holy Spirit, it's going to require that. It's going to require walking and dwelling and asking the Holy Spirit to dwell within us to do that transformative work so that we can become the character of Jesus.
Yeah. What Christ put in, we need to work it to the outside. And the Baptists have a fancy word for that called what?
Sanctification.
Yeah, that's the fancy word, meaning what he put in, I need to work it out.
It's a cleansing.
Yeah. And he's still working on me. I still have dark spots that spirit will shine on occasionally. And I'll go, well, yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's progressive work. Yeah. We're trying to progress to be more like Christ, aren't we, sir?
As far as the time goes, I love the way Brother Ed put it. He used to say, we're in the Saturday evening of time. You know, it's almost and the nights were divided into watches. And that's how they divided the night. And one time the Lord came to meet his disciples. And he came walking to them on the water. And it was a certain watch of the night. It was that last watch. That last section of hour period there. Was it 3 hours or 4 hours in the watch? I think it was four, wasn't it? Was
there four? I can't remember, three or four.
Either way, we're in that last watch. A lot of us, instead of watching, instead of doing what we're commissioned to do, we're just like what Brother Mike said, we're not doing that. So when for us to realize what it means by being asleep, it means not caring, not doing, not working, not using those gloves, because we're satisfied. And that's the worst thing a Christian be, is to yeah. satisfy where you're sitting at. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say
that's
all
okay.
that.
That's okay.
There's four watches in the night.
Yeah, okay. So if I'm a sleeping Christian, I'm oblivious to what's going on around me, my family, everybody else, the lost people around. I'm oblivious to it. I'm just snoring. I'm happy snoring alone. Yeah, and that's what Paul's trying to shake us to, that we don't get comfortable. Yeah, that we remember who we are. No, we remember who he is.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that. I'm sorry. And what he put in us, making us who we are. There we go. Yeah, let me get that right. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, I heard that one time. I mean, when the preacher starts, he's preaching a sermon on this, he referred to it as a Christian comma.
Yeah.
We get a Christian comma. We mm-hmm. get in our bubble and we forget about the things around us. And we need that.
Yeah. Like I said, the title of this is be Wake Up. For all of us, just to wake up. Sir!
I watched a video, me and my wife here about 3 days ago. Anyhow, it's Jesus. He's standing up, you know, at the gates, and the end's come. You know, people are up there, they're getting judged. You know, well, this lady, she is, you know, she's an all-out Christian, okay? She didn't miss a Sunday. She went to church on time. She could read the front to the back of the Bible and tell you what it says. All right, well, anyhow, she's standing in front of God, and she's like, you know, well, can I come in? And he said, I don't know you. You're not one of my sheep. You know, and she's confused. She's like, well, God, I went to church every time the doors were open. I read the Bible. I lived that life. Well, and he said, well, did you? And then, you know, it took a throwback, and she's walking down the road. This homeless man has got his hand out, And he's just asking for food, not money. And she looks at him with like, I don't know, and keeps walking past him. Well, after she walks past him, the spirit, Jesus, appears within this homeless man. All right, this person broke down on the side of the road, dead battery, asking for a jump. Same thing. She keeps driving, and she don't help him, and it's Jesus, whenever she passes by. But the point is, he said, you might have went to church, you might have read the Bible, but how did you love? It's about the love you put into people and help them when they are in need, no matter, no matter if it hurts you or not, as far as taking out your pocket or, whatever. But it's about how you love people, I guess, what I got out of it, and that he didn't let her in because of that fact.
That love that he puts in us when we actually know, when we meet him.
Exactly.
When we meet him.
Exactly.
May I remind us who's the light of the world?
Jesus Christ.
That's a trick question. He said, ye are the light of the world. Once he left, he was the light of the world while he walked. That's a trick question, guys.
He's supposed to dwell within us.
Yeah. Yeah. We are that light now. It's our responsibility to be that light. Yeah. Yeah. Let's keep going. Good stuff. So, Brother Michael, how do I do that? Well, it's not that complicated. What did he say to start with? Walk in honesty. I think two Sundays ago, Brother Chris made the comment, we're required to be good citizens. That's what that lesson was all about, being a good citizen. We're supposed to be honest, too. We don't go around cheating people. We pay our debts that we owe. We don't steal. We don't take advantage of people. That's not brain surgery, guys. To be honest. Honest in our dealings. Do you know how much that shows up in the world today? Yeah. Unfortunately, it shows up a lot. Yeah. Just to treat somebody honestly.
It kind of goes back to maybe last week's lesson.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry.
They asked Jesus what was the great commandment.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was another, it would be to love your brother as yourself. And it just goes to that. If I love you, Bobby, I'm not gonna deceive you in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of dealings we have, any kind of conversation we have, I'm not gonna skew it one way or another to benefit me. I'm just gonna tell you the truth. I'm selling you a tractor that's got a tire leaks down. Probably I need to tell you that tractor tire, right, rear tire leaks down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I don't need to sell it to you. It's a perfect tractor. Just stuff like that. That's just an everyday example.
Yeah.
Be honest about it, brothers.
Let us walk honestly as in the day. Awake. Yeah, awake. Be aware of what we're doing. And make sure we do it right.
That's right.
Yeah. And Brother Roger said, I wonder how thick our law book would be if everybody believed to treat your brother as yourself. About that thick?
It wouldn't hurt us, would it?
Just about, yeah.
Oh, Brother Michael, it says treat your neighbor.
Yeah.
Love your neighbor.
Neighbor, I'm sorry, yeah, better church will forgive.
Yeah.
If everybody in the world did that, what a little bitty law book we'd have. Yeah.
You know, Brother Michael, every time I take a key out to unlock something, I can't help but think what the world would be like if we did all love one another.
About 75 years ago, nobody locked their doors.
Yeah, you wouldn't need a...
No.
You get kind of aggravated sometimes when you have to unlock the gate, lock it back, unlock it. And you're doing that because you know if you don't, that somebody will enter in.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
You can walk in church. You can go in church.
Yeah.
I mean, church. Just started locking their church just a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now Paul likes to make comparisons. Have you noticed that in Romans? He light and dark. And here he's comparing the day and the night and how we should live versus how we shouldn't live. We should not walk in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envying. Now he's talking to Christians. Think about that. We look at these verses and we're thinking, oh, that's the world. That's people that are lost. He's talking to the church here. We need to live a changed life. As you said, a holy life. Yeah. But we have to wake up. We have to wake up. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we said before, like a set of clothes, a new suit. Yeah. I believe it's, I don't know if it's Galatians or Ephesians, but he talked about a new creature. We should be, from the time we're lost to the time we're saved, we should be a new creature. Yeah. Act different, talk different. And I understand, an 11, 10-year-old child that gets saved, there's not a whole lot of difference you see there, except they're not hiding during the invitation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you take a grown person gets saved that's lived a rough life, you'll see a difference there, yeah. Not that I was any better than anybody. I was a sinner. Yeah. And he said not to make provision for the flesh, but he put a qualifier on that. Because if I took that part of that verse out, then I shouldn't prepare for retirement. I shouldn't worry about the roof. But no. He said make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Yeah. You know, I can avoid a lot of trouble by just doing a little preparing. Ounce of prevention, worth a pound of cure. Yeah. There are places I just don't really need to go. You know? It's just better off if I just stay away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 So to wrap this part of this chapter up, we need to wake up. Paul's telling us to wake up and realize what time it is. You know, the only time I have is right now. I don't have yesterday. I don't have tomorrow. I'm not promised that. I've got today. That's the time I need to wake up and realize what time it is. Yeah, today. Yeah. Anyone else on this? There's some good stuff in these four little verses.
Just that it was that time in Paul's day.
Yeah.
Just like
mm-hmm.
it is in our day.
Yeah, yeah.
You mentioned something about not in certain places you don't need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Burgess has a way of describing, he calls it Trouble Street.
Mm-hmm.
He says, where is Trouble Street? He says, just about anywhere after 11 or 12 o'clock at night, unless mm-hmm. you're going to work. He says, there's not much good going on. And he says, you know, movies are usually over, restaurants are closed. He says, but so many of these abductions and things you hear happen at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. He goes, that's Trouble Street. Don't be there. Don't be calling Trouble Street.
Yeah.
So, I've often thought about that. And he said, if you're going to work or coming home from work, you got to be out there. But he said, the pleasures of life shouldn't be occurring at midnight, 1, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, Chris.
The admonition not to walk in envy and strife. You can also interpret that as quarreling and jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I just thought about the old saying, that there's no telling what we could accomplish if we didn't worry about who got the credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in my work, it's political in nature. Often you see a lot of things that could be accomplished if people weren't trying to jockey to a position of getting a credit for it.
That's right.
And so we as Christians that should not be the important thing for us. It's the important thing for us is do good. And God, who sees in secret, will reward openly if it's, he sees fit. So I just thought about that and how that spoke to me in this word, and how that the events that's going on in our national government boil down to, everybody knows things need to get done, but who's going to get the credit for it? Mm-hmm. So that's envy and strife is not our way of life.
Yeah. Everybody know what a mentor is? Do you ever have a mentor in your life? Whether it be in the church or at work or just a friend or whatever. Paul's saying, wake up, it's time we do the mentoring. Yeah, it's time we do the mentoring. Yeah. Yeah.
When we talk to our mentors about, they talk to us about there's no retirement. Mm-hmm. And our government mentor's like, he'll be 100 years old this year. And his wife's 98. Still on fire for the Lord, still witness to every person they meet. They see, they feel that God gives them an opportunity every day to share. And they never let an opportunity pass by. And they really sat down with Kenneth and I and counseled us a lot about, you know, their life. Because we asked them, how, you know, do you at your age just stay on fire for Jesus? I mean, you're just, you know, and they just said, you just keep running the race because there's no retirement. Mm-hmm. And he said, you show me in that Bible where it tells me I'm supposed to retire and quit preaching the gospel and I'm supposed to quit sharing the Lord. He said, you just show me. And he said, it's not in there. And so we'll call them every once in a while, just, you know, check in. And he says, Maggie, get you a pen and paper. I got something to tell you. And I mean, he'll just start giving me the word of God over the phone, just pouring into our lives again. I'm going to put him on speaker phone, you know, because, I mean, you know, somebody's walked with God. They were missionaries like in South America back in the 30s and the 40s and 50s. I mean, when nobody wanted to go to that area. I mean, the stuff they've seen, I mean, and the miracles that they've seen. God did, and I mean, he just received the glory for. He just said, you just never stop running. And they just, you know, I look at that, and I keep asking the Lord, you know, let, Father, if you, should we tarry 100 years, may we be on fire for you. I do not want to be lukewarm. I want to go out here fired up for Jesus. I do not want to be, you know, in a place where I feel like I can share the Lord because I'm fearful of what people or the rejection. And that's what, you know, what you're saying too is, you know, we worry so much about what people think that we get so caught up in that, or what if I say something, you know, we're just supposed to put the gospel out there and love in love and just share it. And the results, you know, I love this saying, it says, obey God in all things and believe the consequences of him.
Amen.
Leave the consequences up to God. Just do what he's telling you to do. And I guess we can't, that's what we pray. Lord, just help us to be on fire for you. I do not want to sit down on my do nothing. I want to go out of here on fire for Jesus. When I get to heaven, I want to see the people that we shared the gospel with. I just want to see them in heaven. I want to just see them there and know,
had just a little bitty part of it.
You know, we did, we just obeyed the Lord that we finished the race. And I think about the, you know, it says that all my days are written in your book. You want to think about that, you know, in the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to do exactly what when you wrote the book about my life. I failed you so much, Lord. Lord knows that. But I just said, Lord, I want to finish. It doesn't matter how we start the race, but it does matter how we finish. And I said, Lord, I want to grow bigger. I want to be on more fire. I want to allow the Holy Spirit to purge out of me, get rid of me that's in me, and be so on fire for you, Lord, that I know that I'm fearless to share the gospel. I don't want to have any reservations. And I want to fulfill that book that you wrote, everything you wrote in that book, to the last period. And that's our prayer. I hope everybody just gets on fire. We just got there on fire.
Yes.
We really need that, and the Holy Spirit to just stir us up. And that's my prayer. Every time we walk in, I say, Lord, stir me up. May I leave changed. I don't want to come in here the same way. I don't want to leave, you know, the same way I came in. I don't want to be stirred. My spirit to be with what it has to be.
So in wrapping up this lesson, let's all wake up, let's live like we're in the day. Yeah. Somebody needs to see Christ in our lives. Yeah. Let's walk as in the day. Yeah. Anyone else? I'm done. Well, I thank you very much for your help. As I've said before, I've had more than one person who visit our church say how much they enjoyed Sunday school because of all the participation.
Yes.
And I say, that's what makes our class. Yeah. I don't know everything. I'll guarantee you that. But it's the input that each one gives. That's what makes our class. And I really appreciate that. And with that, we change gears a little next Sunday. It's a good lesson. It's a really good lesson. Talking about treating a weaker brother, a weaker sister. How to interact, how to treat them. Yeah, some good stuff. I encourage you to read that chapter, okay? All right. Appreciate your help, as always.